All right. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 15th chapter of Matthew. And we have another event here that's similar that took the one that took place before. And I'm just going to get into it, start reading it to you, and then we'll see how, sometimes we as believers, and this is a good ethical sense, we can be so stupid. The Lord fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And as we're going to see in the portion of scripture that we're in this morning, now they have 4,000. And again, it's 4,000 men, not counting the women and children. And they don't think at all about what had preceded, what the Lord had done before. They said, we've got a few fishes, and we've got a little bit of bread, but what's that amongst so many? Sometimes you have to kind of take a hammer and hit us in the head and say, have I got your attention yet? So let's pick up here. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. And they asked this question, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they washed their hands not when they ate bread. Now, these guys could have come out of, scrubbing for surgery. But it wouldn't have made a bit of difference. They could be, absolutely no germs whatsoever on their hands. But if they didn't go through the form that the Jews had of pouring water and going through this ritual, then they were counted to be unclean, And so, and he answered unto them and said, and this we could say to about 99 and 44, 100% of the people that call themselves Christians. Because they don't operate according to the truth of the Word of God. The emphasis is upon their lives and not upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have the idea that they will live a life that will be well-pleasing to other people so that they'll see how that in whatever situation they're in, that they can handle it. And the truth of the matter is, people don't pay any attention to you. That is unless you stick your nose into their business. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now the Jews, had the idea that if they dedicated something to the Lord, okay, now let's take somebody with a whole bunch of money like Bill Gates. So he's got billions of dollars, Okay. But when he goes, or if he goes to church, what's he put in the offering? Oh, they pass the basket and he throws a dollar in. And they never get the concept. Of course, there's nothing with Bill Gates that would suggest to me that he's a believer. But for us as believers, we have the privilege, and it's really a privilege, we have the privilege of taking at least 10% of what the Lord gives us and giving it back to Him. And over the course of my years, and I've got, I've been a believer in January for 70 years. Now, I'm 91 years of age. So the better part of my life, I've been a believer. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, I was given the opportunity early on. I was like everybody at first. I didn't know, that the tithe is the Lord. And so I passed the plate, the basket, and I threw, in a dollar. I thought that was, of course, a dollar in those days was, at least a third of my wages. Excuse me, at least on an hourly basis. So we would do that, and but after a while, as you hear the word of God proclaimed, and God said, told us as a group, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do any of us have the opportunity? Yeah, let's suppose you've got one of the best jet aircraft there is. Let's say it's even supersonic. You can travel at 3,000 miles an hour. And would it still be possible for an individual to go into all the world? No. There still isn't enough hours in the day. You can't fly that plane when you're asleep. Well, I guess if you had enough money to have it, you'd hire a pilot. Okay. Anyway, let's continue on. So the question is, why do we transgress the commandments of God by our traditions? And for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. That doesn't seem like a big deal. But under Jewish law, they didn't have Social Security. With me, with Social Security and everything, and the money I've made over the years, and I still take a small salary from the church, but I've got more than enough money, But the bottom line is, most people are either dead or in the grave at my age, And I've got some physical problems, and sometimes I have, you can hear it when I'm preaching. I'll start, I can't get enough air, And I don't like to do that. But the bottom line is that for me, at 91 years of age, the greatest privilege in the world that I have is to be able to be here Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the doors are open, listen to Eric when, he teaches on, the Sunday school, and he'll teach again tonight, and I teach this hour, and I'll teach again on Wednesday night. But God called me into the ministry, and he gave me the gifts of the Spirit to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. And he said, preach. Well, as long as I've got the life and breath to be able to do it, there's no reason why I can't do it. And that's the way we should look at things. And we as believers, every one of us has at least one spiritual gift. You may be, you may pray for everybody in the church. When I pray, I usually pray rather short prayers. But I know people that hold up every single member in the church in prayer every day. Now, I don't have that particular spiritual gift. But I commit you all under the care of the Lord, and I know he's going to take care of you. But just that difference in gift. You may not be able to preach, but you can pray. And you may not be able to preach, but you can give. And so all of us have something that we can do for the Lord as a service. And it's called a gift of the Spirit. Oftentimes we operate in it just simply because the Spirit of God indwells us, and we operate in the gift, and we're not even aware that we're operating in it. Yeah. So you don't have to be real, what's my gift? What am I supposed to do? Yeah. I guarantee you, you're probably exercising it, whether you know it or not. Okay? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. Now, my dad, when I was a kid, as far as I was concerned, nobody was quite like my dad. Give him a hammer, give him a saw, a Copeland saw. Later on in life, I had tools. You know, I had a planer, I had, a drill press, I had a lathe, and all of those type of things. But my dad could take those simple hand tools and turn out a beautiful piece of furniture. Yeah. Just had he had that ability. Yeah. And so mom had a bookcase, and I suppose it's probably still in my sister's house in California, because mom lived with her the last days of her life. But, I imagine she's still got it. Every now and then I look around the house and find something that I did. In fact, I told mother, I'd given my mother three figurines that I had carved out of, just boxwood. And one was Andy Cab. You know, that little guy that stands at the bar with his foot propped up and a pint in his hand. Well, I carved him out of wood. And then his wife, she was very bosom, big, so I carved her. And then I also carved out the Rin Man. And they were kind of, after mom died, I said to Carolyn, I said, all I want back of what mother has is Andy Cap, Flo, and the Rent Man. And I've got them at home. I'll have to bring them in and let you see what Andy Cap and Flo looked like. And I actually had a pretty good ability to carve, but it's a messy job.
Hey Dale, you remember Snoopy? You did Snoopy for us.
Oh yeah.
You have Snoopy on his doghouse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it's just I used to do that, but it's a messy job, and you don't want to do it in the room with carpet. All right, let's get back to that. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And when I think about my father and mother, when Dad was young, he and Mom were going to church in Compton, California. And I don't know who caused it or whatever, but anyway, they were trying to get rid of the preacher. And usually somebody claims that he did something, I saw him with Mrs. So-and-so, or I saw him go into a bar, or I saw, didn't have to amount to much. Yeah. Remember, I don't care who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. There's not a just man upon the earth that does what?
Doeth good
and sinneth not. So are you going to be able to find fault with me? Absolutely. And if I want to be critical and watch you like a hawk, I can find fault with you. But is that any kind of a relationship? No, we're sinners saved by grace. We're going to make mistakes. But it's under the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ paid for it all. And the scripture says of our Lord, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when?
No more.
No more. So what are people in churches, splitting churches and causing problems? And so my dad, you know, got discouraged with all that was going on at church. He said, I've got to go to church and fight. I'm not going to go. And there was one thing after another that happened to me. I had broke my collarbone when I was 4 years old, and I had an emergency appendectomy when I was four. And just one thing after another, every childhood disease, I had at least twice. And, you know, finally Mom had two accidents, neither one of which was her fault. And Dad finally said, after I was in the service at the time, and he finally said to Mom, you know, Hazel, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. Whom the love of the Lord, he does, or whom the Lord loves, I'll get the right word, whom the Lord loves, he does what?
Chastens.
He chastens him. Okay. So all of those things that were happening, whether they happened to me, whether they happened to somebody else in my family, it was God saying, Hazel and Willard, it's time to get back in church. And back in those days, there were, you could go to just about any Baptist church in those days, and it'd be, pretty sound. And I don't know about the others, but, that was the case. But God said to us, now we're not under law, but this is the New Testament truth. Jesus, of course, is dealing with Jews under law. And under the law, the Jews were required to take care of their parents. There wasn't Social Security or any kind of retirement plan. So as parents got older and could no longer do things themselves, they would be taken back into their children's homes, and the Lord, would take care of them that way. And in the age in which we live, you see very little of that, and you saw very little of it in the nation of Israel, who was required to do this under law. And it's the right thing for us to do. Well, Brother Stewart wasn't my natural father, but he was my spiritual father. And I took him into my home, and he lived with us for the last 17 months of his life. And one of the best things that he ever said to me, he says, Dale, these have been the happiest days of my life. Believe me, you can't outgive. And that was very special to me. And his daughter, she was a doctor of psychology. She taught at the University of Southern California. And really, she treated her father like dirt, really. She's a professing Christian, but she believed every rotten thing anybody ever said about it. And it was sad, but she did. And let's continue. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So young people, if you don't have a right relationship with your parents, if you were a Jew under the law, God would take your life from you. Now, we're not under the law. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, and this shows you how the Jews got around the law. And they did it in every respect. They thought they were keeping it, but they would come up with little ideas that would enable them not to do something that the law required. And then they would say, it's korban. Well, the word korban in Greek is a word which means it's a gift. So what I have earned over my lifetime is mine. And I don't have to look after my mother or my father. No, I'm speaking like the world. No. And that's the way they think. But in reality, you know, for a Jew under law, he was required to care for his people, or his mother and father in their old age. And it's certainly a right and proper thing for us to do. So he goes on to say, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it's korban. Now what korban means, it's dedicated. Mom and dad, I would help you, but I can't because I've dedicated what I have to the Lord. Now the way that works, I'll use it for me anytime I want, anything that I want, and so on and so forth. But if you want me to help you, it's korban. Get the idea? Had a way out. And so he goes on to say, so you say it is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. That is, this is what the Jews said. I don't have to because it's dedicated. And I suppose that happens in the church as well. And while we're not under the law, the principles of law are good and right and holy. And if we can help our parents in their old age, sometimes it's not easy, you know. Ever since Joanne died, I've been basically by myself, and yet Debbie always comes by to see me, and we talk on the phone. I've probably talked more on the phone since Joanne died than I ever did in my life before. You know? But she looks after me, and I appreciate it. You know? She doesn't have to. She's got a family to look after, and so on. But, you know, it's very much appreciated. And then Jesus says to these Jews, ye hypocrites, what is a hypocrite? Hypocrite's an actor. What is an actor? An actor is a pretender. He plays a role. He pretends to be something he's not. Okay. Now you put that into the religious realm for a people under law, and they pretend to keep the law, and they've got things that allow them to circumvent the law, but they don't keep it. Now we as Christians, we're never under law, and we're not under law now. Christ fulfilled it in our behalf. So he says, this people, well, ye hypocrites, actors, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but what?
Their hearts
far from me. So that's what Isaiah said about the nation of Israel. Yeah. Oh yeah, for outward show, there's all kinds of outward show. But when it comes right down to doing anything, you know, it isn't done. And I'm not stumping for any help or anything of the sort. But in vain did they worship me. Excuse me. teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Now, the natural man, what? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And Jesus is saying to the Jews, because of that, listen carefully and understand what I'm saying. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man. So they had all kinds of things. You can't eat this, and you can't eat that. And Jesus says, don't worry about what you put in your mouth. Worry about what comes out of your mouth. Okay? To put it in the vernacular. And he called the multitudes and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So where are our innermost thoughts come from? They come out of the heart of man. And if you're saved, you're going to act one way and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And if you're unsaved, you're going to act another way. You know. And we as believers, we don't always do what we should do. You know, we have a way of figure out a way around the responsibility as well. So he said unto, he answered and said, I missed a verse. Then verse 12, came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended by thee? You upset them when you talked about you don't do anything for your parents. Because they were steeped in the concept that they were holy. But what is holy? Holy means separated unto God. And as separated unto God, you know, I was called on the ministry by God, but I don't have to preach. My brother was called in the ministry as well, and he never preached, except when he had a chance to preach in my spot. We went down to do Mom's memorial service, and Jesus, or Gene was supposed to read a poem. That's what he was given to do. He gets up in the pulpit, and I had set down one of my books that I'd written on the Second Coming because I dedicated it to my mother, and I wanted to remember to read it. So he shoves it under the pulpit, and he says, I don't do poetry very well, and proceeded to preach for quite a lengthy time. You know. Now, what am I supposed to do? You know. And people were saying, I thought it was the younger brother that was the preacher. You know? But the older brothers are like that. And I'm not picking on anybody. Some older brothers can be very, very nice gentlemen. But Gene always had to have a one-upmanship on me. You know, we got in an argument when I was probably about a freshman in high school. And I'd been reading about rotary engines. And I said, you know, a rotary engine has a great advantage over a piston-driven engine, because literally a piston-driven engine is trying to tear itself apart. You've got eight cylinders. You know, each one of these are connected to a cam, but you have a cylinder inside, or a piston head inside a cylinder, and it goes up and it fires and forced back down. But before it can come back down, it's going one direction, it changes direction, it goes the opposite direction. So I said, A piston-driven engine is trying to tear itself apart because those pistons have to stop to change direction. They don't stop. We argued out of that. My dad took me aside. He said, "You're right, just let it go." And after being away at school and I hadn't seen my brother for a long time, I said, "You remember that argument we had when we were kids?" And I brought it up, and he still wasn't going to admit it. I'm not trying to pick on Gene. He's been dead for about 3 years now. But the bottom line is, you know, he, maybe longer than that. Anyway, he just couldn't admit that I knew anything. And people are like that. I'm older, I'm wiser, and so on and so forth. You know, and if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if you're right, you're right. But you don't have to be a jerk about it in either case. Okay? So in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men in verse 9. And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand." Now, we hear if we have normal hearing. I get a kick out of the kids. I can barely hear them. They hear just fine. I have to wear, you know, hearing aids. Does that look like $3,000 to you? You know, I didn't pay that much for them, but that was the original price on them. $6,000 in my head. And I still can't hear. No, you have to learn to work with hearing aids because they amplify for a certain condition. And that when this service is over and you all start talking, I hear every one of you like you're standing right next to me. So I can't understand the person that's standing right next to me. Yeah. And I can put it in a position, but I have to fool around with them to get it there. Anyway, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. It's not that which goeth out of them or into the mouth that defileth man." You know, edible food, you can eat it. What defiles you is what comes out of your mouth. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we have a tendency to speak things that are desperately wicked. Okay? So, coming on here, I find out where I was. Okay, the Pharisees said, or the disciples said, the Pharisees were defiled. But he answered and said unto them, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what will happen?"
You
know, a blind man can't be a guide to another blind man, you know, because neither one of them can see, and they're going to fall into a ditch. You know. Okay, so I keep losing my spot. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding?" You know, our understanding of, as believers doesn't come all at once. I've been at it for a long time, save when I was 21 and a half years old. I won't be 91 and a half years old until January. So in January is my spiritual birthday. Yeah. And so when I talk about being saved 70 years, that's in round terms. okay, because it won't be actually till January. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us this parable. And so Jesus says something. Sometimes Jesus says things to the disciples that it sounds like he's hard. And what it really is you're not thinking. Listen to what I say. Yeah. Do not yet ye, or do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. Yeah. You normally have a normal cycle. You eat and you have a bowel movement and things of that sort, and that's proper. And if it isn't normal, it's very uncomfortable. Okay. And he says, but these things, but the things which proceed out of the mouth, well, the heart's deceitful above all things, and what? It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we as believers, we still have that heart. We've been born again. But there's not one thing to keep us other than walking in the Spirit and taking on more of a spiritual outlook of life. There's not one thing that prevents us from doing just about anything and everything that we want to do. We can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you know, and commit the unpardonable sin. But there isn't anything else that we can't do. So, can we look at Christians and think about Christians as being perfect? No. We have to look at Christians for what they are. They're sinners saved by grace. And at whatever level they are in their spiritual growth, you may see more or less spirituality. Okay? And so it's our desire, you know, or it should be our desire, to do what? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our desire not to run to the same excess of riot that we formerly ran to. But are we capable of doing it? Absolutely. Yeah. So he says, but the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And these are the things that defile the man. We're out of the heart. Yeah. The heart's the innermost being of us. We use the heart. The heart's just an instrument that beats in our chest. It has no capacity to think. Yeah. So when we speak of the heart of man, we speak of the personality of man, which uses his brain as his computer to help him remember things. And we have the capacity to do all kinds of things, some conscious and many unconscious. You know, I don't have to think about whether I'm moving my hands when I talk. It's just one of those things that I do. Most people do move their hands when they talk. It's not that some sort of nervous twitch of some sort. It's just very common to the human family. So in verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Well, there's some pretty rotten things there. Yeah. And this is no different for the Jews under the law than it is for us saved by grace. We don't lose our natural mind. It's with us all of our life. Now, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have a tendency, or we can have the tendency, to think more spiritually than currently. But at any given point in time, it's possible for us to be very carnal, to think naturally, you know, to be drawn after things that we shouldn't be drawn after. Because there's not a just man upon the earth that does what?
Doeth good and sinneth not.
And it's these things that defile the man. You know, but to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. So the Jews were all into things that they could do to make them feel holy. And Jesus was just simply showing that this feel holy business isn't any good. And we have as much of it under the canopy of Christianity as we had with the Jews under law. You know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Hopefully I can keep myself in check, but I don't. You know, hopefully you can keep yourself in check, but you don't. You know, and we don't have to tell everybody about our faults, you know, or anything of the sort. It's just who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. So as sinners, we don't cease to be sinners just because we've been saved. It's not like suddenly I'm holy, righteous, and just. I am judicially. God says I'm holy. God says I'm righteous. God says I'm just because he looks at me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I look at myself and think about all of the things that I've done in my life and will continue to do, you know, something you can't do because of age. You know, I can't do much of anything but eat and sleep now. But we have to recognize before the evil days come, you know, and I know I'm here because the Lord still has a job for me to do. But, you know, I also know that in the next moment, he could take me into his presence. Do I have to fear that? No, I look forward to that. You know, but as long as he's got something for me to do, I'm glad to do it. And that's the attitude I think all of us as believers should have. You know, don't be worried about life. Okay. For out of the heart, verse 19, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, what?
It defileth not a man.
Yeah. It defileth not a man. Yeah. I can't drink anything with any alcohol in it at all today. You know, I never did like to drink to excess, but I used to enjoy a glass of Jack Daniels over the rock. It'd take me about 2 days to drink it. Not really quite that long, but just sipping it. You know, just sipping whiskey. And, you know, and sipping whiskeys are made, you know, if you first time you drink anything, you don't like it. But you can acquire a taste for these things. And that was what I liked. I also like Maker's Mark. I don't like to drink cheap booze. And I can't drink any booze. Then Jesus went out, went thence, and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. And this is another story altogether. I've reached the end of my timer, so we'll bring this to a close. And I want to mark this spot so I can pick up here next time. I've got a whole bunch of little spots in my Bible. they're supposed to tell me where I've been. And I never know which one to look at. All right. Our lives as believers are a bit of a mystery. Yeah. We're saved by grace. We know we're saved. We know we have an inheritance in heaven. But that rotten guy tells Paul, sir. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us. And we thank you that salvation is by grace or unmerited favor to those that believe. And that you give us the faith to believe, and you give us that faith in grace, so that there's nothing about us that deserves salvation, but we have salvation. Therefore, our relationship with thee should be a relationship of thanksgiving. We don't deserve what we have, but we have it because the Lord loves us and gave himself for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.